David Zinner is Kamarian Nathan. Kamarian has been working on the FM and admin components for more than 4 years. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Kamarian.
Hi, welcome everybody. I'm Kumaran Nathan. I'm going to present today the managing JDE application on WebSphere application server. So let's move on to the slides. I hope everyone has the PDF file or joined into the e-meeting.
Excuse me, can you hear me okay?
I think yes.
Yes, I've got a difficulty. I'm trying to get onto the web conference site. When I put in the password, WSTE10OCT.
No, it should be WSTE09OCT.
Oh, that's not what it says on my email. Okay.
I know. Yeah, there is some problem in the.
Okay.
Even we were not able to log in initially.
09 instead of 010. Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's move on to slide 2. So today we are going to see high-level overview of application management, application repository, and the new concept in WebSphere application server 6 and 6.1. So we are also going to see how we are going to manage the application, like how we are going to install, how we are going to uninstall an application in WebSphere using admin console as well as WSAdmin. And also we are going to see how we are going to export an application from the WebSphere repository. And we are also going to see a new feature called application scope level, which is introduced in WebSphere 6.1. And we are going to see about that as well. And at the end, we are going to see how we can troubleshoot the application installation and uninstallation problems. So that's going to be pretty much interesting. So the application installation involves validation of application archive, collection of configuration information from the end user, and finally, it's registration of application in the WebSphere application server itself. So we are going to see all this today in the presentation. So let's move on to slide 3, which is going to be manage application. So in this slide, we are going to see how we are going to manage application on WebSphere 6.0.1.6.1 environment. Okay, let's move on to slide 4, which is how JDE, on this section we are going to see on this slide the deployment cycle model of a JDE application, any JDE application. So a developer writes the code and compile it on rational tool or using AST. It could be a rational application developer tool or application server toolkit, which comes with WebSphere 6.0. So they can write a code, compile the code using these tools, and they can also assemble the EAR file as a EAR file using the RAD or AST, and then they can install the application on WebSphere. So the first part that we are seeing on this slide, the writing and assemble the EAR file will be done by a developer, and an administrator can take the EAR file, install the application, and configure the application, and then they can update the application later. So when you assemble the EAR file, you will populate with your deployment descriptor, like deployment.xml file, which we are going to talk about it later in the slides. So once you take the EAR file out from the RAD or AST, first time you'll go and install the application on WebSphere. Then once you install the application, you can go back to the application, and if you want to make any modification, you can go and click on any of the links. For example, if you want to change the virtual host of an application, or if you want to change the context root of an application, or you want to change the session management, or you want to change the web container setting, or anything, you can do it after you deploy an application. And then once you do all that, you can also export an application if you want the same configuration to be exported to any other environment. You can export the application and then install it on other environment as well. And if you have a edition 1 application installed and you have edition 2 now, the developers are providing you a new edition which contains the new features of your application, then you can go ahead and update the application on the WebSQL application server. So this is the overall deployment cycle, what we really do in WebSQL application server. So we will also see in detail about all this in the coming slides. Okay, now let's move on to slide 5. So this is the overall structure of WebSQL application server, like right from 5.0. If you worked on 5.0 or 5.1 or 6.0, 6.1, in all the versions of WebSQL, the structure is going to be the same. If you have a deployment manager, you have to federate the standalone base servers to the deployment manager so that deployment manager can manage all the nodes. So deployment manager is nothing but a cell. There will be only one cell in the configuration, and the cell can have n number of nodes, and node can have n number of servers. So in this slide, we are seeing the two servers on a node, and that's federated to the deployment manager. So first what we do is, if you see on the slide, you will see the administrative client, which is nothing but your admin console. You use the admin console, log into the console, and then you install the application. So the administrative console will be running only on the deployment manager. It won't be running on the nodes. So you connect to the deployment manager, log into the admin console, you install or deploy an application on the deployment manager. So all the validation of your application will be done on the deployment manager. So you will have all the option to choose while deploying the application, like you give which virtual host you need to install and which server it has to be running, and give all the binding information about the application, JNDI, all the information when you deploy an application. So once you, the final page is going to be your summary page on the deployment manager admin console. Once you click on save and think, during that time, when you, if you say just save, it's going to be saved only on your deployment manager, which is your master configuration. So when you click on save and sync, it expands the file and push the file to your nodes, and then it expands the file into the node installed apps folder. So first it will do it on node by node. For example, if you have 10 nodes federated to deployment manager and the size of the application is 10 MB, and first initially it will do it on one node. The sync will happen on one node per time. It's a single threaded. So what it does, it push the file on node 1 first, expand it, everything done, then it will move on to node 2, node 3, node 4, node 5. So sometimes you may see delay expanding this. So some people just go and log in, and then once it say it, the admin console might say it has been it has been saved and synchronized, but still on the background the application will keep on getting expanded on the nodes. So on the second slide, after this slide, probably we are going to see where it is going to get expanded and how is it going to get expanded. So I would advise everyone, before they deploy any major application on the production environment, run the backup config tool. You can find the backup config tool under the bin folder, which is going to be under your profile name / bin. You'll find a tool called backup config. Run the backup config tool on the deployment manager, which is going to be your master configuration. You don't have to worry about what happens on your node. As long as you have a backup of your master configuration, which is your deployment manager config, you are good to go. So Okay, let's come back to the presentation. So you deploy it on Deployment Manager and it syncs up node by node and all the application will get expanded. Then you can start the application from the console or using the WSAdmin. Once you do so, you can access the application using your web client from a browser or it could be an EJP client. So that can go through your web server. You can have multiple web servers to talk to the servers. So the application will be running only on the server. So it won't be running on your deployment manager or it won't be running on the node agent. Only the system management application will be running on the deployment manager, which is your file transfer application or admin console. None of the application will be running on the deployment manager. So now, so as I said, always run the backup config before you make any major changes or before you do any major upgrade or installation on your environment. So that even if you have any corruption or anything, you will always have a backup. You can use a restore config tool to restore the configuration on deployment manager, sync the node, we are fine. So let's move on to slide 6. Okay. So on slide 6, we are going to see where the applications are going to be stored. So you deployed an application and you have some problem or it's everything working fine, but you want to know all your jar files, class files, everything on your ER file got expanded and everything seems to be fine. So if you want to do that, any application deployed on WebSphere application server will be stored in three places. So as you see in the presentation, the slide, you see under the cell name, which is marked, under the cell name, you will, under the profile name, config folder, cell name, you will have a folder called application. So if you go under the application, you will see the application that you deployed. So I'm talking about the deployment manager profile now. So you will see under the deployment manager profile name, config, cell name, application folder. So this is your master configuration of your application. It will have all your metadata information and your descriptor files, like your web binding files or application.xml file, deployment.xml file. All your XML files will be stored under this application folder, under your application. And also, if you go inside the cell name, and you will have you see a folder called nodes under the cell name here. So underneath that, you will have a folder called node, then node name. Under the node name, you will have a file called serverindex.xml file, which is the most important file, one of the very important file in the WebSphere application server. So once you open the serverindex.xml file, you can see the application name and you can see on which server it is deployed to or mapped to. So this is the second entry. First you will see under the profile name, config, cell name, application folder, and you will go to the cell name, node name, serverindex.xml file. You should see an entry for the application in the serverindex.xml file. And the third place is going to be your installed apps folder. So your application, your real binaries will get expanded in the installed apps folder. So that's going to be under your profile name, so installed apps, then there will be a cell name. Underneath, the application will get expanded actually. So this is on the deployment manager. You will see it in only two places, one under your config cell name application and under the node name server index.xml file. Once you save and synchronize, it will go to your app server profile, and under the app server profile also you will have the same structure as you have in the deployment manager configuration. So there also you will have the profile name, cell, config, cell, cell name, and underneath you have application folder. It will have the same information what you have in the deployment manager. It's going to be like a replica of what you have in the D manager. And you will also go to the node name under the server index.xml file. You will have an entry. And also, if you go and see the installed apps folder, underneath the binaries will get expanded into that. And you will have a file called deployment.xml file, which will have all the attribute information about where this application is installed. So the class loader setting, is it going to be a parent first, or it's going to be parent last, or about the all information is going to be there in the deployment.xml file. And there are some attributes like use metadata from binaries and enable distribution and all those things. If you set the enable distribution to false, the application won't get expanded in the installed apps folder. So when you deploy an application, on the step 2 or 3, I'm not sure, you will have an option to select the enable distribution set to true or false. If you set to false, the application won't get expanded in the installed apps folder. So you will have a lot of attribute in the deployment.xml file. So if you want, you can open that and you can play around and see what are the attributes you have and what it does exactly, because it takes a lot of time if you want to talk about each and every attributes. So let's move on to slide 7. So slide 7, this is the new concept in WebSphere Application Server 6.0 and 6.1. It's called system application. So we have system applications like admin console, file transfer, some management beans, and a couple of other system applications. So the system applications will be running on your cell, which is going to be your deployment manager server. And that is, you can see the system applications under WebSphere application server. There will be a folder called system apps. That's going to be a new folder. Underneath the system apps folder, you will see all these applications listed under there. You will see admin console, you will see file transfer, you will see all other system applications. So this system applications, it's kind of convenient for everyone. Suppose, because if you are, you can create even 10 profiles on the same installation. So you won't be having different admin console for all 10 profiles. So all the 10 profiles under the installations are going to use the same system applications. So there won't be any duplicate. We are saving all the resources, everything. So the system applications will be under your WebSphere app server system apps folder, and it's for common for all the profiles created under the installation. So this application will get started when you start the server. And as I said, all profiles share the application binaries for system application. Okay, now let's move on to...
Before going to the next chart, if you cannot join the e-meeting, you can access the presentation by going to ibm.com, typing 701-0793, and search box at the very top of the page. A technical document with the PDF file will display. Also, the password, if you're unable to get in, is WSTE09OCT. Thank you. I'll now turn the presentation back to Kumar.
Thank you. And now we are moving into slide 8, which is application installation. So let's move on to slide 9. We can install an application on WebSphere application server. It's almost the same like what we have in WebSphere 5.0 and 5.1. There is no changes. You can install it using admin console, or you can install it using WSAdmin, or you can install using the GMX client. So you can install however you want to in the WebSphere application server. So there is not much difference between the earlier version on the on this version. And you can view, edit application-related information also in the admin console and WSAdmin after you deploy an application. If you want to view or modify any application-related information, you should be able to do so. That we are going to see that in the coming presentations. Let's move on to slide 10. So the let's see the admin console first. So using the admin console, you will, when you deploy an application, you will, on the left-hand side, you will have all the links on the admin console where you click application, then enterprise application, and then you click on install an application, where you will upload the file first, and then click next, and go to the summary, click save, sync, right? And on 6.1, actually, there is a feature in the very first page where you can say, I don't have the slide here or the image, but on 6.1, on the very first page, you will have an option that will be a radio button. When you upload the file on the same page where you upload the file, there will be a radio button which says, do you want to see all the panels or you take all the default and go to the final? I mean, only it will ask for 2-3 information. It won't ask for all 10 pages or 15 pages, like binding information. You will skip all the information. So there is a, one of the new feature in 6.1, which is cool. So you can save a lot of time. You don't have to go through all the information. Just choose, oh, I don't want to see any of the information. Just click next and go deploy your application. And when you deploy the application, you will give the JNDA name of your enterprise EJBs, which is the same. There's not much difference between the earlier version and this version, as I said earlier. And you can say which server you want to deploy the application that you can choose. And there will be a lot of other features as well, as I initially say. And the third point is, can map application to your web server, which is the new feature on WebSphere 6.0 and 6.1. When you deploy an application in the earlier version, you can only select the target server. You say, okay, I want to deploy this application on server 1 or server 2 or whatever server it is. On WebSphere application 6.0 and 6.1, when you deploy the application on a server, when you map the application to a server, you can map the application to a server, which is application server, and also to a web server. So while deploying itself, you will map the application to the web server as well, and you can deploy it. And so you can associate an application with a specific web server. So generating the plugin for the HTTP server in version 6 is application-centric, meaning that WebSphere application server will create a plugin file for each web server. Suppose if you have 3 web servers and you map the application to 3, and each and every web server will have a unique plugin file, and it's going to be based on your application. And if one web server you are mapping with 2 application and one with 3, so that information is going to be in that plugin file for the respective web servers. And finally, the web services binding can be specified during the installation of an application. We did not have this feature in the earlier versions. So web services bindings can be specified while deploying an application, or after you deploy an application, you can go ahead and update it. Okay, now let's move on to slide 11. If you are good with WSAdmin, even you will know about all these commands, which is very straightforward and it's very simple commands. So WSAdmin, I just want to tell about the WSAdmin. Probably if you are new to this tool or if you are new to WebSphere, so we have something called WSAdmin tool, which does 99% of what admin console can do. I won't say 100 because there are some features that we cannot do, or you have to, if admin console do it in one step, you may have to do it in three step or four steps actually. So, but you should be able to do pretty much what you can do it on the console using the WSAdmin. So you can find the WSAdmin tool under your bin folder, profile name bin folder. You run the WSAdmin. If the global security is enabled on your web space, you pass the user ID and password, connect to the WSAdmin. So there are commands like admin app, admin config, all the commands. So you give $admin app and say install interactive and space, give the path to that application and hit enter. It will ask you all the information as you see in the admin console. Oh, you want to give this information and where do you want to deploy the application and well, which server you want to map or what is this binding name and all the information, good information it will ask with the install interactive. And also the good feature about install interactive is, suppose you don't want to do the install interactive, but you don't know what are the parameters you need to pass while deploying an application using WSAdmin. So how do you know that you have all this, like what attribute you need to give? Web app binding to this or whatever, right? So if you say this install interactive and give all the information whatever you want, at the end, click save and you are done. And there is a file called wsadmin.traceout, which will be under your profile name, logs folder. The file name is wsadmin.traceout. If you open that file, it will have the entire script that you ran. Actually, you will have the admin app install script there. So next time, you don't want to run the install interactive to get all the attributes. Like, what you have to do is just take that script and run it on the WSAdmin so that it's one-step install. You can install it. Like we are seeing in the non-interactive install. Under the non-interactive install, binding could be pre-configured in EAR or specified on command. So what you say, admin app install this application name, right? So if you want to map it to different, if it's not pre-configured in the EAR file, and only way to go with install interactive, but you don't want to do it, but you have alternate option. Go to that file. Once you run the install interactive, it will create a command line scripting for you. You copy that and run it on the WSAdmin. You're good to go. And also using the WSAdmin, the cool feature with the admin app command is you don't have to have the server running to deploy an application. So all you need to do is when you connect to the WSAdmin, say WSAdmin contact space none, so which connects to the which will be connecting to the server, but the server won't be running actually, but it can talk to all the configuration on your profile. So you can say $admin app list, which will list all the applications deployed on the server. And even you can have the help commands like admin app help install or help space install interactive, which will list you the options to use in the WSAdmin command. Okay, let's now move on to slide 12. So other operations that we can do it on admin console on WebSphere 6 and 6 form. So as you see, you can start an application from the console. You can stop an application from the console. You can install or uninstall, update an application, roll out, remove. As you see, all the button, all the operations you should be able to do. And some of this, we are going to see it in the tomorrow presentation, which we are going to talk about the update, roll out update, remove file, all those things. But today we are going to see the export, what is the use of export. In the WebSphere application server. So even you can uninstall an application using WSAdmin. WSAdmin minus C. If you don't want to connect to WSAdmin and you want to just run it on the bin directory, like just go WSAdmin space minus C. Okay, I want to run this command to uninstall an application. But after doing all this, you do admin app install or you do admin app uninstall. Once you are done with that, you need to say $admin config, again admin acaps, config ccaps, admin config space save. So when you do it, then only it will be completely done, the uninstall or install. So you need to remember, after running any of this command, you need to say admin config save. So as I said, you can start, stop, and export an application and all the cool features. And let's move on to slide 13. So on slide 13, this is a new feature in WebSphere 6.1. So you click on the server name, you go to the left-hand side, you have all the links and click on the servers. And then on the right-hand side, you click on the server name. So you will have a new feature called Applications. And you have an installed application link. If you click on it, so it will show what are the applications are deployed on this particular server. In earlier versions, we did not have this feature, so you won't be knowing which application running on which server, right? So it's kind of a very difficult to find out if you have 200, 300 applications and 200, 300 servers, and if you want to see which application is running on which server, it's going to be very difficult to find that information. So we have that feature in the 6.1, like go there, click on the install application, and you will see all the application deployed on that server. And all these panels, what you see here for the server or for the enterprise application also, probably I think you may see it in the next slide. It's all dynamic. It's not static. So if your application doesn't need some information, you are not going to see that in the console. It's all going to be dynamically created links. So now let's move on to slide 14. Oh, yeah. So here it is. So the application configuration details. So only properties and references applicable to the applications are displayed. So you click on the application. For example, you are clicking on default applications here. So you see models, web model properties, enterprise Java bean properties, and all the information for the default applications, right? So when you click on, for another example, for another application, click on another application called Query, and what you see here under the model, you will see manage model for all the applications, because if you click on manage models, there you can go and map to different servers and all those things. But other things like enterprise Java beans for the query application, you will see only the application profile and the EJBJ and NDA names. There is no map data resource or provide default data source. There is nothing like what you have in the default application. And there is no web model property as well for the query application. So as you see, you have it for the default application. You even don't have the web model property. The entire component itself won't be displayed for this application. So which is convenient for you. You don't have to think about a lot of options, which one to click, which one to choose. So pretty cool and pretty short. So let's now move on to slide 15, which is exporting applications. Okay, why you want to export an application? Let's see that in page 16. Okay, exporting application. So as of now, what we have seen, like you go deploy an application, make the changes on your application, click on this link, change your session timeout or change your map different servers or do whatever you want. You are done with that now. So you want to use, you spend like a couple of hours to update the application with new information, new bindings, new this and tuning, whatever you have done so far. Maybe you use the shared library to map it to this application and change the class loader settings and everything on one server. And you don't want to repeat the same thing on all the machines, right? So you don't want to spend another 2-3 hours on other machine configure the same thing. So all you need to do is, instead of getting the application from your developers, from the RAD or AST, go to the admin console, or use the WSAdmin. Just click on the export. It will export the configuration of your application with all the changes what you have done so far on the server, on the application. So you just click on the export application button, then export the application with all the changes that you made and take the EIR file, deploy it on any other server, deploy it on any other WebSphere environment, which will have all the information whatever you have made so far. So which is the cool feature. So you can also use it as a backup. Suppose if anything happens to this application, and you can take the EIR file and deploy it again, or whatever you want to do. And these are the good stuff with the exporting an application. So once you export an application, we call that application as enhanced EIR file. So it used to be on 5.0 and 5.1, it won't have that deployment descriptor information like deployment.xml files. Even if you have it, we don't use it when you deploy it on other server. But on 6.0 and 6.1, when you export an application, it will export it as an enhanced enterprise archive, enhanced EIR file. So you take the application and then you can deploy it with all the information, as I said earlier, like it will also have the deployment.xml file information, so with where to install or where to expand or all the attributes what you have in the deployment.xml file also will be the part of your exported file. So we call it as enhanced EIR file on 6.0 and 6.1. So about enhanced EIR file, we are going to talk about the enhanced EIR file tomorrow in the session 2. So let me now move on to slide 17. Okay, which is application scope. So this application scope is kind of a new feature in 6.1. We didn't have this feature before. It's pretty cool. For example, you need some resources for your application. And in earlier versions, where do you create? You create it on server level, or you create it on a cell level, or you create it on a node level. And you take the application, put it anywhere else, and you go there and create the same resource on your server level or node level or cell level. I think if you're on 6.0, you create it on cluster level as well, right? So you have to create the resource again. It's kind of a duplicate effort. But if you have it in your application itself, the resources bundled with the application itself, you just take it, put it on any server. You are not duplicating any effort there. And this application scope, the one thing is you have to use the AAC, or you have to use the RAD, the Rational Developer Toolkit, or whatever, to create the application scope resources. You cannot create that in the admin console. You have to create it before even you get it from your developers, or if you are a developer, you have to bundle the application scope resources. And you can modify it later, but you can modify the resources using the WSAdmin or AAC toolkit. So as I said, but the resources, it's the application that needs the resources, not the server runtime. So you need to be able to store resource definition at the application level. So resources can now be scoped at application level. Okay, now let's move on to slide 19. It's just an example of your application scope resources. So the application scope resources, it's a new and version 6.1 resource embedded in an enhanced EIR file can be viewed. So when you get the application with the application scope resources, with all your deployment information, that application EIR file, also called as enhanced EIR file. So you can view or you can modify those information in the admin console. So you will have a new link called application scope resources. You just click on the links and go and modify and do whatever changes you want. So you see this link only on 6.1, you won't see that on 6.0 because we didn't even support the feature in 6.0, so it's a new feature on 6.1. And okay, let's move on to slide 20, which is the troubleshooting, the problem determination. You have a problem, how to resolve it. So let's go to slide 21. So on this section, we are going to see what are the problems you will see when you deploy an application. So as in many problems, this first four dots with the fifth one, I just wanted to give you some explanation about the admin console as well as the system application. But I've seen so far, I cannot say how many issues I have seen, but many issues so far I have seen related to any of these four problems with the application. So the first, let's talk about one by one now. The application deployed. You deployed an application successfully, but the application is not starting. So what do you need to do? So when you deploy an application, as I said in the beginning, when you deploy an application on DManager, if you are doing it on the admin, in the base server, you won't see much of this problem. But on the with the deployment manager configuration, because of with all the deployment manager should talk to your node agent, and node agent should talk to your app server, and with all this, if one communication is not good, or you have a network problem, or a firewall, or there could be many reasons why the deployment manager or node agent not able to sync properly or not able to discover properly. There could be any reason actually for this problem. So we most of the time we see this problem with the deployment manager configured with the nodes. So you deploy an application, you deploy it, save, synchronized, and your D manager says, oh, okay, I'm done, and it's been, everything is done, you can go and start the application. So you will just go and click on start button, select the application, click start, it'll say, oh, application cannot be started. So you'll be surprised, everything went fine, why can't I start the application? As I say, when you deploy an application on four nodes or five nodes or two nodes, it's going to be node by node basis. So you go install an application, click on save sync, it expands on one node, and then go to another node. So if you have application with 100 MB, 200 MB, 300 MB, it takes that much time to expand the application in the installed apps folder. Think about you expanding the application using a zip tool or any tool of a 200 MB file. So that much time WebSphere will also take to expand those files in those locations. So even though it says synchronize is completed, the application will take its own time to get it expanded under those folders. So until it gets expanded, you cannot start the application. So there is, you got to make sure the application is expanded completely. Then go ahead and start the application. You can check that in the installed apps folder or the three locations what I said initially, like you will have it under the config cell name application folder, and config cell name node name under the server index.xml file, and under the installed apps folder. If everything is fine in all the three places, then application should get started. So you should not be having any problem with that. And as I said, you take a backup of your configuration on the deployment manager before you make any major changes on your production system. Or otherwise, sometimes you might lose some configuration state. The second point is application not expanded in the installed apps folder. We have seen many issues, the applications not getting expanded in the installed apps folder. For example, you, as I said, you deployed and synchronized, and during the sync, sometimes it might fail because of some security reason, as I said, firewall or network issue or something that happened. The application might get expanded only under your config folder of your app server. It's not a binary, it's your metadata information and your deployment descriptor information will be there under your app server profile name config folder, and you may even have it in the server index.xml file, but it won't even get expanded under your installed apps folder. So even you do whatever, run a sync node again, sometimes if it failed, for some reason the sync, but it expanded into your profile config location, then it thinks that, oh, I already expanded the file or I'm done, right? So when you try to run the sync node again, it may not expand the file under the installed apps folder, but if the marker, we use the marker and the epoch values, if that does not match your D manager, then it thinks, oh, still I haven't expanded, let me expand the file under the installed apps folder. If not, you have only one solution. You have to use, there is a tool called EAR Expander, which is under the bin folder. It's called EAR Expander. Use the tool to expand the application in the installed apps folder, and you are good to go. And there is one other way also, you can re-expand the file under the installed apps folder, but I won't recommend doing that in any of your production system. You can do it on your development system if you really want to do it. What you need to do is, forget about D-Manager side. So on the app server side, you are going to your profile name, config, cell, application folder, right? You see the application name underneath there. All you need to do is stop the node agent, remove that folder under the profile name, config, cell, application, not on the D-Manager. Remember, you are not touching anything on the D-Manager because that's your master configuration. Remove it on the app server side, that folder under the application, remove it, and then run the sync node. Now D-Manager will compare with your node side configuration. It will think, oh, I don't even have the application expanded under your app server. So it will try to push all the files again, then re-expand all the applications, all the information under your installed apps folder. And we have also seen issues like if your temp folder is full, sometimes it won't expand the file under your installed apps. The temp folder we use mainly under your deployment manager as well as on the app server side. So when you run a sync, so let's talk about that for 1 minute here. When you run a sync from the deployment manager to your node, it will put the file under your D manager profile name, config. There is a folder called temp folder. When you deploy it, it will put it there and then expand it there and then move the file to your app server profile. So if that config temp, we have a couple of APIs, so I would recommend always you have the latest version. So that will get removed. If for some reason, if it is not removed, it will have a lot of files in there, config temp. It will keep growing like 1 GB, 2 GB, 3 GB, and somehow you may see some memory issues as well. So you may have to check that folder as well, if it is full or not. And those folders are a magic folders, I would say. Most of this problem, what we are discussing here, if you want to solve it, even I recommend most of the people to do that, actually. So even if it's on a production system, you have to make sure you stop the deployment manager, stop the node agent, go to the profile name, config, temp on the D manager, remove the temp, everything under the temp folder, come to the app server, go to the same location, remove everything under the temp, and under the app server, you will have one more folder called WS10. It's a workspace temp directory. It's under the app server profile name WS10. You remove everything under the WS10 folder. This WS10 will have also information about the markers, if the application is expanded or not, all the information will be there under the WS10. You remove this under the app server, WS10 under the app server and the config temp under the app server and also on the D-Manager temp, and then start all the servers and then run the sync node. Most of the time, these problems, whatever we see here, will be fixed by just doing this 3 steps. But remember, you have to stop the deployment manager and the node agent. If both are running, and when you, if you remove it, so the sync might be happening during that time when you remove the file. Half of the file might be moved and half still there in the config temp. So we are screwing up the entire configuration here. So don't even try removing those files when the servers are running. I'm not worried about the app server that's being running because it's nothing to do with that. So app server can be still running, client can serve, or they can log into their application, they can do whatever they want, but you have to remember to start the deployment manager and the node agent. Okay, now let's move to the third point, which is application removed from the installed apps folder. So we have seen this issue mostly on the 5.0 and 5.1, and not much on 6.0 and 6.1. This application might get removed under the installed apps folder if any corruption, like if three users logged into the system and trying to play around with that application and corrupting some information, and mainly the server index.xml file, as I said earlier, that's one of the key files in the sphere, so that will, the server index.xml file under the node name will have the information about all the application being deployed or mapped to the servers, right? So if that file gets corrupted or if the one entry about that application is removed from the server index.xml file, the web sphere will think that, oh, the application somehow got uninstalled. Why do I have to keep the files under the installed apps? Let me go ahead and remove it. So it will remove the files under the installed apps folder. If there is any corruption in the server index or if there is any corruption in the configuration level as well. So sometimes you may see under the profile name, config cell name, the application folder, if you have 10 applications listed there, all the 10 application entries should be there in the server index.xml file. So you can compare, open both the files and see, oh, okay, I have all 10 here, so there is no corruption. If there is any corruption, then it won't be there. It might uninstall the application in the installed app, or it may remove the binaries from the installed apps folder. So the fourth point is application status is not correct in the console. If the application status is not right on the console, if it's not showing up as started, or if it is showing up as stopped or unknown, or if it is showing as stopped, then it's kind of, we need to find out why really it is showing as stopped. If it is unknown, go back to the server where the application is deployed and then see the server is running or not and check the status of the server. Because the application cannot show the right status until unless the app server shows the right status. If the app server shows the status as unknown, then you need to go to the node agent and check the status of the node agent. If node agent does not show the right status, app server cannot show the right status. So if the node agent shows the status as green, started, synchronized, then you got to check why it is not showing up. Usually that won't be the case, but it's all because of the discovery issue between the node agent or app server. It might not be the issue with your application at all. Sometimes it takes some time for the D manager to show the right status on the console because node agent is the middleman here, talks to your app server and to your deployment manager. So when you start the application, the deployment manager asks the node agent to kick it off. So then it's node agent responsibility to tell the app server to start it, actually. Once the application is started, the app server should send the signal back to your node agent, and node agent will send the signal back to your deployment manager. So this process might take some time, maybe a minute or 30 seconds, or sometimes you won't even see any difference. So probably if you refresh the page, probably you might see it. So, or as I said, if you have the problem all the time, you have a magic solution removing these three 10 files and restart the D-manager node agent. Hopefully, the problem should be resolved. So let's talk about the last one, the admin console application not coming up or fails with some exception. On 6.0, you cannot do anything with the admin console. So you cannot reinstall the application. We need to find out what we need to do. First file I would check is the systemout.log file. We go to the profile name, logs, it could be a D manager, if it's a deploy manager, or if it's a base application server one, open the systemout.log file. First entry I would check is whether the admin console is started or not. You will see that in the systemout.log file, it will say whether that admin console application is successfully started or not. The first thing, check that. If not, then check for any exception during the startup, or after it started, you try to log in. You are not able to log into the admin console, are showing some error 500 or 404, whatever exception, stick that in the system.log file and see if you have any problem there. The quickest solution, I would say, if usually you may see this problem after you upgrade from 6.102 or something to 6.11 or 21, or sorry, 6.02 21 or whatever. During the upgrade, there are some chances for this file to get, I won't say it could be very rare, but it is possible. So if this thing happens, what you can do is take a backup of the system application, adminconsole.er file, which is under your WebSphere app server system apps folder. Take a backup of it, put it somewhere, and take it from your working environment somewhere, 6.02.21 or 6.107 or 6.111, whatever it is. The same version, it should be exact, same version. Copy it from there, put it under this folder, and then start the server again. Make sure to stop the deployment manager or the server one server when you are doing this, so that you will have a new copy of the admin console, which is the working one, which is the quickest solution, but you still have a couple of other solutions to try as well. And other thing, on 6.1, you have a new feature called Deploy Console. You will see that under the bin folder again, and if you go to the bin folder of the profile name, bin folder, you will have the Deploy Console script. Using that script, you can install the application, install the admin console. We call it as ISC Lite. It's going to be the Eclipse-based the application, which is a new feature in the 6.1 actually. So you install it, or even you can uninstall the admin console. You can do whatever you want using that script, which is Deploy Console. If you need more information, you can go to the info center of 6.1, search for Deploy Console. It will list you all the information about how to install or uninstall, do whatever you want. So I think we're almost like 5 minutes past 12 now. Let me go to the last slide, which is tracing. If you have an issue, how do you debug the problem? Give com.ibm.ws.console.at*.all:com.ibm.ws.management.*.all. So it should be com.ibm.ws.websphere. And the default trace location would be under the profile root log dmanager trace.log file. When you enable the trace to debug the problem, make sure you enable it on deployment manager as well as on the node agent. You don't have to set it on any of the server, because server is not even involved until you start the application. During the deployment, you don't have to worry about the app server tracing. So all you need to do is you have to enable the tracing on your deployment manager and on the node agent, and open the trace file. First, open the systemout.log file of the dmanager or node agent. Check for any exception. Copy that line and search it on your trace file, and just go like 30-40 lines before and after and see probably if you can be able to figure out the problem. Or you can always open a PMR with us, and we'll be glad to assist you or work on these issues. And also you can enable the tracing on the runtime so that you don't have to restart your servers. So, okay, let's move on to slide 23, which is the summary panel. So today we have seen the application management, how the repositories are, where the applications are installed, and what you can do while installing application, what you can do after installing the application. And we've seen the WSAdmin and admin console to install and change the configurations. And we talked about the system applications like admin console, file transfer, and file transfer will be running on your dmanager, which is used to transfer the files from your dmanager to node agent if you're new to this. And we have also seen the install and uninstall of an application, how you can do it using console and how you can use it using the WSAdmin. And we have also seen the start and stop of an application, how you do it, which is pretty simple, I would say. Just go click start, stop, alright. And we also talked about export application, what is the use of exporting an application, and we also talked about application scope resources, which are tied to an application, specific application, which is new in WebSphere 6.1. So on 6, we have seen the new features called mapping it to a web server directly when you deploy an application. And you can see what are the applications are deployed on a server. And it's a new feature, application scope resources. And you get an enhanced ER file after you export. That is a new feature. And like that, we have a lot of cool new features. Probably if you want more, then probably we have it in the info center as well, I believe, most of this information. And probably that's all I have for today. And if you move to slide 24 for additional WebSphere product resources, you can go to any of this link, and you can have more information about WebSphere product resources. So probably you can, whenever you have time, you can click on those, and then probably you can check those things. So now it is the time for question and answer.
And we'll take our first question from Krishna Gopalju.
Hi. Can I go ahead now?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. Hey, Nathan, this is a great presentation. I liked it. I just have a question about the synchronization.
Okay.
And in my cell, I have four nodes, four physical nodes, and I have a cluster created on only two nodes. Okay. And I installed an application on the cluster, and I did the synchronize, and it is working fine, but the question here is, it is syncing this application onto the rest of the two nodes also. Is it a normal behavior, or is it supposed to be not doing it?
It should not do that. When you deploy an application to a cluster,
mm-hmm.
So you created the cluster with two servers, which is from node 1 and node 2.
Yeah.
So your node 3 and node 4 should not even know about that application that you deployed on other two nodes. So the application should not get expanded under those nodes. You need to make sure when you have selected the cluster, when you map the cluster to that application, make sure that you don't have mapping to any of the servers on those two other nodes. There is no way it can push the file to those nodes if it does not have any reference to your application server or anything else. So all you need to do is go back to that node, the another two nodes, and go to that, as I said, profile name, config, cell name, node name, open the server index and see if that application is listed there or mapped to any of the servers. And then you can... you can also, if it is a 6.1, you can go to that application server and see if that application is mapped to it. Or the best thing and easiest thing would be click on the enterprise application, click on the application name, click on, there will be a link called Manage Modules. If it is a 6.0 or 6.1, click on that. It will list out where these applications are mapped to, whether it's mapped to only that test or the cluster, or it's mapped to any other nodes or any other servers. So if not, then probably it's really... I can't even say here. It should not happen at all, for sure.
Okay. All right. Okay. I will look back and see if I have a mistake made or something.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll go on to our next question. It comes from Balamli Omalabu.
Yeah. My question is just in relationship with mapping the application to the web server, how do you deal with the issue of generating plugin files?
So when you deploy an application itself, you will map the web server and the application servers. So during that time, you will have the web server configuration under your profile name, node name, and under the servers, you will have the web server also listed as a, it's not an application server, but it will be also listed as a server there. And for each and every web server, you will have a separate plugin file. So when you deploy an application, when you map the web server, so that information will get updated under the in that plugin file. So if you have three web servers, and only if you are selecting only one web server, so that application information will be get updated in the plugin file. I'm not sure if I answer your question, but if you have, let me know.
I guess my question just is, what is the difference with when you don't map it directly to a web server and like the way we run right now, even though it's version 5.1,
mm-hmm.
is we generate a plugin. The web server resides on a different server,
mm-hmm.
and then we move the plugin file to the web server.
Mm-hmm.
The question is just, how does this differ from this new future where you can map directly to the web server?
The it is almost the same how you do it in the 5.0 and 5.1 and 6.0.
Okay.
Only thing is, you will have all the thing, like you cannot start a web server or you cannot maintain any of the configuration of the web server in the admin console itself on the previous versions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and 6.0.6.1, you can do everything on the console itself.
Including managing the web server?
Oh, yeah. You should be able to start or stop anything. You can do it on the admin console of the 6.1 itself.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and the information will also be stored in the part of your web sphere configuration, actually.
Okay. That answers my question then.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll move on to our next question coming from Mandar Tetzal.
Hi, this is Mandar. Can I go ahead?
Yeah, sure.
Hi. Often we get some core dumps from the application server. We have a couple of applications, many applications on the server deployed, and most of the time the error which we see is the JVM heap size is not sufficient. So we keep increasing it. So I would like to know two, three things. First is, how do we relate this Java heap max size which we set to the real memory which we have? What should be the ratio which we allocate? Secondly, how to debug these core dumps?
So you see this problem after you deploy it and start the application, right?
Yeah, the application runs fine for, say, a day or so, and
mm-hmm.
then we start getting these dumps.
Okay. So that, it's not going to be the size of the applications or whatever. It's going to be if there is any leak in the memory in the application or the code, how the garbage collection is taking place and all those things. I don't see any point just keep on increasing the heap dump there, I mean the heap size. So at one point maximum, we recommend 1.5 gig or maximum maybe 1.8 or not even 2 actually. That's not a recommended solution. So all we are doing is we are holding the resources there. So if you see the problem in one day, probably if you increase the size, probably you may see it after 2 or 3 days, right? So you can, we have a must-gather document for those things, and I think we have the problem determination document also in our support site. Probably you can, we have a heap dump analyzer tool as well, I think, on the support site. Probably you can download and you can analyze that, or you can open a PMR and you can send us the core dump, and we should be able to analyze and see from which part of code is causing the problem. Is it maybe a JIT or whatever it is causing the problem? So we should be able to figure out.
Yeah, with the heap dump tool, you said we should be able to figure out where the leak is.
Yeah, you can do your own problem determination as well. You should have a self-explanation. I can get your ID, or if I can find the information about those tools, I can send it to you.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
Okay, you can give it to the operator or someone. Probably I can get it from them, your ID.
Okay.
And I can pass it to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 at this time. And it appears there are no... I'm sorry, we do have a question coming in from Saya Kulat. Caller, please go ahead. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Sorry, I was on mute. Come on, it was a nice presentation. I have a couple of questions. When I deploy an application, if I want to externalize the configuration files for a specific EAR, what is your recommended place to put these config files? Will it be inside the WebSphere installation or outside of the WebSphere installation?
You mean any... like a external class file or jar file need for your application?
No, like property files.
Property files?
Yeah.
You can put wherever you want, but don't put it under the JVM, or don't put it in the JVM class path or the Java folder or anyway. You can bundle with your ER file if it is required only for one application. If it is required for more applications, probably you can put it outside, anywhere outside the Westpay folder, and you can create a shared library, and you can associate the shared library with that application so that the application can find those configuration information.
So you're saying put the property files outside of WebSphere installation and create a shared library?
Yeah, create a shared library to that path of the property file and then map it to your application, that shared library information. Or you can, as I said, if it is going to be only one application and if you don't want to go through all this shared library stuff, then you can bundle the property file with your application itself, with your ER file.
No, actually we want to externalize the configuration.
Then only solution is to create a shared library, which is the best and recommended solution. Or usually some people will put it in a JVM class path, give the path. Usually, most of the people, if they want, don't want to go through any of the information, just go to the JVM and put the class path and you're good to go to the property, right? But that is not the real recommended way, because if you have, you may see some conflict if you have it in the JVM class path. So we don't recommend putting it in the JVM class path first. Create a shared library and make it as common and all application you can access.
Okay. I think we can scope it to a server also, right?
Especially yeah, that you should be able to scope it to a server or to your application. That's up to you, however you want to do it.
Okay. If you don't mind, I have another question.
Sure.
Does an EAR needs to be always explored in an installed app directory, or can it be anywhere else?
Oh, it can be anywhere else. It doesn't, we don't have any recommend that it has to be in the installed apps folder. When you deploy an application, I think it's in step two or three where you can say directory to install application. So where you can say where do you want that application to be expanded. So it could be a temp directory or it could be anywhere. So we will have that path to that location in that deployment.xml file, which is app install directory or binaries URL, there is an attribute, which will have that information, where the applications are mapping to or where the applications are expanded. So under in the deployment.xml file, you if you search for binaries URL, it will have that information. So you should be able to expand it anywhere. The installed apps folder can be anywhere, actually.
Okay, so is that recommended by IBM to, like, if we need to deploy the application explored EAR outside of the Sphere installation?
Yeah, it is recommended. If that is your requirement, you should be able to do it without any problem.
Okay.
That's why we have that feature. So it is a recommended way of doing it, actually, if you don't want to put it in the installed apps folder.
Okay, thanks a lot.
No problem.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star key followed by the digit 1. Our next question comes from Chris Morelli. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. The question is, I have an application with 6 JVMs in a cluster, and one of the JVM is basically reserved for running some timer or thread jobs. So how do we actually prevent anyone from logging on to that specific JVM? Is it can it be done using some cluster weights, or is there a better way, actually?
So you don't want anyone to log in to one particular server, which is part of the cluster?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't even want that application to be running, or it should be running, but no one should even hit that server?
It should be running, but it is basically doing some internal timer jobs or running something else, but we don't want any interactive user to log in to that specific JVM. I mean, they can log into other 5 JVMs, you know, as routed by the web server or the load balancer.
Okay, I got it. I'm not 100% sure on that, but the weight should help us. Like, if you set it to 0, I think it should not even send any of the load to that particular JVM in the cluster. But I will definitely find out, and I will send you the answer by end of day today. If you can give the information to the operator, probably I will send you the information.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. I think, yeah, the operator has my info.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Our next question comes from Margaret Bauer.
Yes, I'm calling from Verizon. There's a number of people that wanted to participate in the web conference. And we've been trying repeatedly, and the password's not working. The WSTE, the number 10, and OCT.
Yeah, sorry about it. I think the password has been changed to OCT09. WST09 OCT. Even initially, we were not able to log in. I think that's why we interrupted in the call a couple of times, and even we gave the new password information. I think it's unfortunate that you were not able to get that information.
That's okay. It's is it still WSTE OCT09 or just OCT09?
09 OCT.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about it.
Let me see if I can't get it. That's okay. We have a lot of apps coming up, or a lot of different people that are going to start using. So I forwarded this URL to my team. Now they're all pinging me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that they couldn't get access, and unfortunately I was on another critical call.
They should be able to go through the recorded one. Probably it may be published tomorrow. I'm not sure. Robertson, you there on the call?
Yes, I'm here.
So can you just explain us?
You asking for today's or tomorrow's?
Today's.
Yeah, it's WSTE09OCT.
Yeah, when it will be published externally, I mean the MP3 recorded information?
MP3 actually will be published, I would say, in a couple of days, maybe today's Wednesday. Should be published tomorrow, Friday. Depending on how long it takes to get the audio back.
Okay, so they should be able to replay the information, right? Replay the presentation, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Where would we go to replay it? I'm sorry.
You can actually go to IBM.com, and in the search box at the top right of the page, type in tech doc number 7010793, and then the tech doc will pop up in the PDF file, but the whole presentation is included.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's 7010793. Okay, would it make sense for people to participate tomorrow if they didn't participate today?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be the entirely different presentation. So it's not a recommend, actually. It's not a basic, that's advanced, not like that. So they should be able to understand what we are talking about.
Okay, because we're currently on 5.1, and we're moving towards 6.0, so a lot of people want to get educated.
Oh, okay.
All right, at this time, we'll conclude the presentation. Hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Western Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Kamarion, for presenting today.
Thank you.